Amen. We are always excited when our men sing. We're grateful for all of our singing units, our male chorus, our women's chorus, our mass chorus, our youth choirs, our super senior choirs, our women's choirs, our generations, contemporary choir. But I particularly want to highlight the men in an age where men are often left out of conversations and equations that are spiritual and religious. It is always good for me to see a choir loft full of men singing to God's glory and singing to God's honor. So let's give the men another hand of encouragement. We thank God for them. Why don't you stand to your feet, and I invite your attention as we get ready for God's word and the message this morning. I invite your attention to the New Testament book of Acts. Acts chapter 8. So if you would join me in that scripture reading, we believe that there is something from the Lord for the people of God today. I want to welcome those who are listening virtually, either by way of internet, via YouTube or Facebook. We welcome you to the Shiloh Church. I've got folk and friends and family as far away as California who I know are tuning in, so we want to give them a shout out. And us close right here in the city of Trenton, Deacon Ken Porter and so many others who are at home, but they always tune in and listen to us. So it's good to have you in worship with us today. Oh, Deacon Ken Porter's not at home. I spoke him up. Look at that. He's right there in the back. So to God be the glory. Amen. For those who don't know, one of our faithful deacons, he's been wrestling with a bout of throat cancer, but to God's glory, he is overcoming it, he is beating it, and he is in the name of the Lord Jesus, worshiping through faith and pressing on towards the high mountain. So God bless you, Deacon Porter and the Porter family. And I also want to say that there will be hundreds and others listening by way of radio on our broadcast, WIMG 1300 AM. And we certainly want to say to them, to God be the glory. And then every Tuesday at 7 o'clock, this service is edited and rebroadcast on Comcast, local channel, Trenton, Hamilton, Ewing, Lawrence, maybe across the river. And so tune in on any of those mediums, and we want to make sure that no matter what medium it is, that the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is going out with power and with might. I want to give a special shout out, we're going to say a little bit more about them, to these wonderful young men and women in blue shirts seated in the first couple of pews to my right. They are the volunteers from Mission Serve. And Shiloh, you're going to learn a little bit more about Mission Serve. Pastor Corey is here. Pastor Gay is from Central Baptist Church. Pastor Anthony Gilmer, the pastor of the Transformation Church, myself, other clergy, we've all conspired together in a good way to serve the community of the Lord here in Trenton. They've come as far away as North Carolina and Virginia. Y'all give them a big Shiloh welcome and Trenton applause as we welcome the volunteers from Mission Serve. They're going to help us do some sweat equity today and over this whole week in helping refurbish, repaint, rebuild some things, put up some fences, tear down some other stuff, pull up some weeds. That wasn't in the job description, was it? And do a few other things, but we're excited to have them here today. Say amen when you've located Acts chapter 8. I want to get you to open your Bibles and keep your Bibles open, but I want to direct your attention to our screens as we try to all read from the same scripture and ensure that we are on the same page. So do we have that upstairs, Acts chapter 8? I'm going to read the first scriptures, and then we'll read in alternating fashion thereafter, all right? Now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, Acts 8:26, saying, "Arise and go toward the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert." So Philip arose and went. Let's read 27b together. Amen. That's called the rolling completion of the sentence. Amen. So Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah. And Philip said, "Do you understand what you are reading?" He was led as a sheep to slaughter, and as a lamb, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his justice was taken away. His life is taken from the earth. Together. Now, as they went down the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized?" Together. And we're going to read all together these last two verses. And both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. Now, when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip, and he went rejoicing. Here ends the reading of God's divine and eternal word. May edify and may sanctify God's people. With it, you pray with me on the simple title of this message today, Miracle in the Desert. Miracle in the desert. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, I pray now that you would not let these words return void, but that they may accomplish that which you intended. May hearts be encouraged. Oh God, help someone to know trouble doesn't last always. May minds be illuminated. Teach us something we did not know before we came into this sanctuary. And ultimately, oh God, we pray that somebody's soul would be convicted. I pray that you would draw somebody from where they are to where you want them to be. So have your way right now. We thank you for what has already transpired in the walls of this sanctuary. We thank you for Zion songs and for fervent prayer. We thank you, O God, for the fellowship of the saints and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit. And now, dear Lord, touch everybody and maybe even perhaps save somebody. This is our prayer. In Jesus' sweet and wonderful name, we do pray it. Let all of God's people, the redeemed of the Lord, say together, amen, amen, and amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Miracle in the desert. The Lord has been wrestling with me, and I've been wrestling with the Lord about a new sermon series about places in the Bible and what do we learn from those places. 2 weeks ago, I preached on the first Sunday in July, the first. I preached about Jerusalem, and we talked about, I preached about Goshen, and we talked about what Goshen represented, a city in Egypt that gave the people of God, the Israelites, refuge while Pharaoh's attention was being arrested by God. The Bible says in those sequence of 10 plagues that while the hail, one of the plagues, was coming down upon the Egyptians, that God told God's people, Moses and God's people, that if you get into the land of Goshen, you shall not be touched by the hail that is falling down all around you. And that's a powerful message, someone, because if you just stay in the place where God wants you to stay, God will protect you while all of the thing is going on around you. Do I have any witnesses here today? I think a few of you understand what I'm talking about. And Goshen doesn't have to be a physical place. In many respects, you can't get up from your desk at your job while hail, H-A-I-L, make sure I'm saying that right, is falling down all around you. But you can stay in a place where you are covered under the hands of Almighty God, and you can still find peace in the middle of a storm, even without having to get up to go somewhere. But every now and again, when folk are really reading the riot act to you, you might just say, "Excuse me for a minute, I've got to go to Goshen." and go to that place, wherever it is, and find God's peace so that when you come back, you've been in Goshen and you don't allow them to take you someplace other than Goshen. Amen, somebody. So there are places in the Bible where I believe we learn lessons, biblical lessons of our Christian growth, maturation, and maturity and development. And so today, the place doesn't have a name, but the place today is simply called the desert. The desert. If you look in verse number 26, the Bible says that Philip, and we know Philip's name because Philip was one of the seven deacons that was appointed after in Acts chapter 6 when the disciples, the apostles, were given the charge to care for God's people, but they needed some folk to help them in dealing with some of the church anxieties that was going on of the day. And there was a dispute that arose about food between Greek widows and Jewish widows. And so the Bible says that they were to appoint men full of wisdom and the Holy Spirit to help adjudicate the matter. Philip was one of those men that was appointed. Philip later became an evangelist and began to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ all around that region. And so it is that Philip, not to be confused with another Philip, that we encounter in Acts chapter 8. And it is that Philip that is being led by God, and that Philip who God sends to a man whose name we do not know, but whose function we know well. He was an Ethiopian eunuch. And the Bible says, and put the verse number 26 back up on the screen, it says that Philip was sent by God, who spoke, an angel of the Lord who spoke, go and towards the south along the road which goes down towards Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert. I put desert in red because desert is a physical place. It is usually meant the absence of water, hydration, and in many cases, even life. And so we tend to associate desert with dryness, and we tend to associate dryness with the absence of something of vitality. And so desert doesn't necessarily have to mean that there just isn't water, but it is the absence of something or that which is life-giving and life-sustaining. And I would challenge each of us that all of us at some point in our Christian walk will encounter a desert place. What do you mean, Pastor Armstrong? Well, you will find a situation, a circumstance, even a physical locale where there seems to be the absence of life-giving sustenance. It is we can reasonably ascribe to that a desert place. Well, what do you mean? Go help me out a little bit more. Well, there may be some places where you have people around you, but they are not life-giving, and so you may find yourself in a dry spiritual place because there's nobody around you who may share your same spiritual or religious beliefs and tenets and understanding. And when you get into a dry place, I need you to understand that you are not alone in that dry place. God has a way of sending people and even resources into the desert to help you when you are in a dry place. Well, Pastor Armstrong, what are you talking about? Well, I may be even a mature Christian coming to church for a long time. I'm involved in different ministries in my church. I faithfully tithe my money into my congregation. I give my time and my talent and my treasure. But for some reason, I've hit a dry spell. There's something going on where I'm not feeling as connected to God as I used to. Or maybe there's some folk in the church that's causing me to feel a little disconnected from God. I know you may be asking, how can that be in the body of Christ? Well, it happens. Let me just say that. And yet the reality is, even if you find yourself in a dry place, even in church, even in the desert in the church, I am here to tell you this morning that God can even send some resources in your desert place to help you get out of the desert. Okay, how about my job? I've worked in secular places before. This isn't my only job as a pastor I've ever had. I've worked at Lockheed Aeronautical Systems Company in Burbank as an intern with Inroads when I was just getting into and on my way out of college. I've worked at Princeton University, not just in there as an intern, but in their chaplain's office. I've worked in other secular institutions. I worked at Stanford University as an Upward Bound counselor, helping first generation high school kids go to college. I've worked in other secular places, and I will tell you that sometimes in secular places of employment where you don't have people around you that might encourage you, and you might think that you're just coming there for a paycheck, you may ask yourself the question, why am I getting up this morning to go to that place that seems so dry, it does not even give me life? I'm frustrated because I'm training folk who I know will be promoted over me. I'm the first, last hired. I might be the first fired. Why am I doing this? Well, I need you to understand that even in a desert employment place, that God will remind you. You know this job you're complaining about? You didn't have a job a year ago. And so I want you to remember, I'm the one who gave you the job. And even though you find yourself in a dry place, I can send some water into your desert and remind you that I am supplying your needs through this job. So I still want you to give me glory, because you could not have what you have. Deserts come in all different shapes and sizes. Deserts come in all different locales. Desert places come with the mundane to the serious. Desert comes with death. Desert comes with sickness. Desert comes with unemployment. Desert places come. And yet today's sermon is about how does God meet us? And I would even dare say, not just meet us in the desert, but give you a miracle in the desert. Come on, someone. There are three quick points. You don't have to put them up on the screen. On the back of your program, I want you to turn your bulletin over. There's a place for some points. I want you to write with me. I want you to write these three words. Number one, I want you to write the word responsive on the back of your bulletin where it says sermon points. I want you to take some notes home today. Responsive. I want you to write number two. If you didn't get a bulletin, raise your hand. We'll have some of the ushers come and bring you one real quickly. Ushers, come grab some bulletins and bring them over to my right. Number two, I want you to write down the word, not just responsive, but I want you to write down the word respectful. Not only do I want you to write down the word responsive and respectful, I want you to write down lastly the word radical. Because I believe, Pastor Core, that as we serve Christ, we've got to be radical in our faith and not be constrained by the things and the people that are around us, that God wants us to step out of the box into new places and do new things, because we serve a God that says, when I wake you up every morning, my mercies are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. First word, responsive. The Bible says, put verse number 26 back up. I want you to see this for yourself, that I'm not making it up. When we are following God and doing God's work, we've got to be responsive to the leading and the direction where God sends us. The Bible says that Philip was over here, but the angel of the Lord says, get up from where you are, go toward the south and along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. Now, Philip did not even know why he was going there. Philip did not have an explanation of who he was going to encounter there. All the Bible says, Philip, get up from where you are, go towards the south. It reminds me that as I went along my Christian journey, there were some places that I thought I was going to go, where God then took me in a different direction. I never wanted to be a pastor because I never thought about being a pastor. I wanted to go to Princeton, get a PhD, work on a university campus, and be a professor and help young students migrate, because that's the model of ministry that impacted me when I was a student at Stanford University. The Reverend Floyd Tompkins, many of you have met him. He was such an inspiration in my life that I said, that's where I think God is calling me. We've got to be careful where you tell God where you're going, as opposed to letting God direct you where you're going. So I thought I was on my way, got accepted to Princeton. I was going to go get my PhD. And then all of a sudden, I wind up as the interim pastor of the Union Baptist Church around the corner, 301 Pennington Street. I never wanted to be a pastor, but they needed someone to step in. And so while I was going through getting my PhD, or at least thinking about it, the church called me to serve. God, through the church, called me to serve. And guess what? I fell in love with pastoring. I fell in love with shepherding God's people. I fell in love. And so maybe I thought that this was where God might have me to serve. But God said, no, this isn't where I want you to serve. I'm going to close that door, but I'm going to open up another one over here at the Shiloh Church. So I left 301 Pennington. I came around the corner at 340 Calhoun Street. God opened up a door because Dr. Wilson invited me in to serve as an associate minister, as an assistant pastor, as an interim pastor, and then in 2000 as the pastor. Now, I could not have planned that for myself, but I was just saying, Lord, where you lead, I will follow. Where you send me, I will go. I will do what you want me to do, say what you want me to say, be who you want me to be, let go of who I think I want to be, and say, Lord, have your way. I'm here to tell the young people in blue shirts. I'm here to tell the men and women in suits and everyone else in between. Black and white, Asian, Latino, rich or poor, tall or small, this or that, whoever you are. I'm here to tell you that we must let go and follow God's will for our lives if we're going to achieve the things that God has ordained for us to achieve. Philip, God's angel told Philip, get up from where you are and go towards the south. I'm also convinced that if we knew where we were going, some of us wouldn't go. If we knew we were going to be on the rough side of a mountain, Sister Betty, some of us would stay in the valley. If we knew some of us were going to go through the valley, we would stay on the mountain. Who likes to put themselves in places of challenge and uncomfortability? But God says, it's not where I send you, it's where I cover you while I send you there. Do I have anybody here who understands that even when God sends you into a desert, God will take care of you? That even when God sends you on the rough side of a mountain, God will provide for you? That even when you find yourself in the valley, Lord, how did I get here? Why am I here? God says, my ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so too are the ways and the thoughts of God above man. God says, get up. I now, in my 49th year of living, have stopped saying, God, where are you leading? I've now said, Lord, send me, I will follow. We've got to be responsive to God's will. Philip heard the voice of the angel, got up, and went towards Gaza. Gaza, which is a live place today. Gaza, the Gaza Strip, listen to me, which is one of the most hotly contested places of geography on the planet. Gaza, Palestinians and Jews fighting over this little strip of land. Gaza. Philip was sent to Gaza in the desert, and God had a miracle waiting for Philip in the desert. Point number two, not only must you be responsive to God's will, you've got to be respectful to the people you encounter. I know that might sound simple, but every time I turn on CNN and I look at the White House and I look at our president, I know some folk call him 45, but I'm not gonna disrespect him. He is the president of the United States of America, just like I don't like folk calling President Obama 44. He was the president of the United States of America. I know we may not always agree on how, why they're there, but I do believe Donald Trump, God allowed it to happen for whatever reason. Come on, someone. And if you believe in the God like I believe in God, I believe that there's an ultimate reason why God allowed Donald Trump to become president of the United States, and it is not to get Donald Trump to build a tower in Russia. No, I believe part of what God is doing is saying to the people of God, wake up,
because you've become too complacent. Wake up and understand the power of prayer. Wake up and lift up my name in a dry place. Wake up and remind Donald that I am God and above me there is no other. Wake up and tell Donald that you gotta care for the least among you. Wake up! God does things for reasons. And so whatever reason he's there, we have to have a general level of decorum and civility. You've got to be respectful. Grandma said, how you treat people matters. People don't have to be nice to you, but if they do, at least say thank you. Amen, someone. There's some young people who are about to go out into places, five or six places all over Trenton. They're following God's will. They got up and they're going. Part of their training is how to be respectful to the residents in Trenton. They're not from Trenton, but part of what they've been trained is to, if I'm going to carry forth God's word, I've got to also carry forth God's witness. And people won't hear the word if I treat them disrespectfully. It's not just them, but any of us need to understand on our jobs, in our churches, in our own family, if you don't treat people with respect, they will shut you down and shut you out. And so part of the message is how do you be respectful to people who you may not know, or you may not even like. I know that doesn't sound very kosher in a Christian church to say you may not like everybody, but if you tell me you like everybody, I'm going to step back away from you. Then I'm going to look up towards the heavens, see if the clouds are forming. Because lightning might be just about to strike. You don't like everybody, but you got to love everybody. And then I found out, but if I'm called to love everybody, then I got to figure out how to like them somehow. Amen? Jesus loved everybody. But it doesn't mean if I love you, I don't challenge you. It doesn't mean that if I love you, I don't correct you. It doesn't mean if I love you that I may not even chastise or discipline. And so, but how we do things matter. Respect matters. And so I look at this text and I see Philip, who we presume is Jewish, and eunuch, who we know is Ethiopian. This is overtly a racial text. You've got either a Semitic man, Jewish, or maybe even some form of Middle Eastern man who now is interfacing and interacting with a man of African descent, a black man. And the black man has money, power, and privilege, and position. After all, he is a eunuch in Queen Candace's court. Queen Candace was a queen of a locale that we know is along the eastern part of Africa, Ethiopia. It is mentioned all throughout the Bible. We know that the Ethiopians are descendants from Cush, who is a descendant of Ham, who is a descendant connected to Cush. We know that Cush in Aramaic means dark or burnt. And so we believe that these are black people. This black man goes to Jerusalem. He is reading Jewish texts, and in the Jewish text, he encounters a Jewish man. You've got the making for cultural competency. You've got the making of how does one race interact with another. You've got the makings of how does one socioeconomic status interface with another. But in all of that, here's what Philip says. Dost thou understandest what thou readest? A very simple question. It was nothing overt. It was nothing that berated the eunuch. The eunuch then says what? I love this. The next verse. He says, Philip, why don't you come on up and join me and maybe you can help me understand what this scripture means. Now, what I love about the text is that the scripture is the text that says he was wounded for our transgressions and he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes are we healed. The eunuch was reading Isaiah chapter 53, and in it we believe in Judeo-Christian understanding that the he in Isaiah 53 is Jesus. But the eunuch had not ever heard about Jesus. And Philip, who knew Jesus, even though he was a Jew, he said, I need to share Jesus with this man, but I need to do it in a way that doesn't offend him. How many of you know you can still share Jesus and you don't have to offend anybody? And so Philip asks him a question. The eunuch invites him up, and a conversation ensues. You can open up a lot of doors by how you treat people. Or you can close a lot of doors by how you mistreat people. And I believe that as people in the body of Christ, it doesn't hurt us to be nice to other people. How many of you know it takes more muscles to frown than it does to smile? If you just put a smile on your face and an outreach of a hand and an outreach of a hug, you can go a long way in sharing the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you just have a positive affect, I want to be one of those people where people say, oh, here comes Armstrong. I'd love to see him come. As opposed, Pastor Core, here comes Armstrong. Man, I hate to see him come. And yet, how we treat people matters. The text is very clear that Philip's engagement with the eunuch was based on civility, engagement, positive interaction. And that, beloved, opened the door for Philip to be radical. Being nice doesn't mean you don't be radical. Being nice opens the door. Being radical means that you're willing to share the message that Jesus sent you there to share. Put the next screen up. The Bible says that in this verse that Peter, that Philip, in engaging the eunuch, he says, I ask you, of whom does the prophet say this, of himself or some other? Then Philip began to explain the scripture, and he preached Jesus to him. Philip was not being politically correct. Philip was not just being nice. Philip understood that he was there to send a message about our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. And I want to challenge everyone in the sanctuary that as we do what God has called us to do and go where God has called us to go, don't forget that it was Jesus that saved you. Don't forget it was Jesus that hung on a cross for you. Don't forget it was Jesus that bled for you. Don't forget it was Jesus that got up for you. So that when that door opens, you've got to then take advantage of the opportunity to say, I don't want to offend you, but I need you to understand that what I'm talking about is Jesus as my Lord and personal Savior. So you've got to share with someone that name which is above every name, because at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. How many of you believe that? And at the name of Jesus, every tongue shall confess. At the name of Jesus, power will be, authority will come into your situation. You've often heard me talk about praying in public settings. You've often heard me saying, I've heard preachers who say, who've been told to not pray and close their prayer in the name of Jesus. I've heard preachers, and I've said it, well, Mr. Mayor, Mr. Governor, Mr. County Exec, you invited a Baptist, sanctified, Holy Ghost filled preacher to come and pray. I know that I've got my Jewish brothers and sisters, and they cite Moses and the Torah. I know there are Muslim brothers and sisters, they cite the Quran and they name Muhammad. I know I've got my Hindu brothers and sisters and they cite the Vedic scriptures and they cite Krishna. I know I've got my Buddhist brothers and sisters, they cite the Ling scriptures and they talk about Buddha. But you invited a Baptist preacher, a child of the Most High God, a believer in Christ. Do not handcuff me, because that name of Jesus is how I got here. That name of Jesus is my walking stick. That name of Jesus is grandmama's walking cane. That name of Jesus is the authority, is my protection. Jesus is my way maker. Jesus is my burden bearer. Jesus is my heavy load sharer. Don't tell me I can't call on his name. And if that means I don't pray, then I won't pray. But I'm going to call on the name of Jesus. Is anybody here not ashamed of that name which is above every name? What's his name? What's his name? What's his name? Call his name. Shout his name. Praise his name. Lift up his name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus. Grandmama used to say it this way. Jesus in the morning. Jesus in the noonday. Jesus in the evening. Jesus when the sun comes up. Jesus when the sun goes down. Jesus. Philip was radical when God opened the door to preach Jesus to the Ethiopian eunuch. Jesus is above race. Jesus is above class. Jesus is above geography. And I'll go to my seat in the desert where there is no water. Don't you know? The eunuch said, look at that. There's a puddle of water in the desert. What prevents me from getting baptized? Philip said, come on down, brother. We're about to go in the water. How many know God can turn your desert into an oasis and bring some water? Has anybody ever been in a dry place? But God brought some water. He hydrated your situation. And the eunuch got baptized, brother Pastor Archie. Baptized in the desert. Don't tell me what God can do. God can perform a miracle in the desert. Don't you worry about your next desert. God will perform a miracle in the desert. Somebody say, thank you, Lord, for your grace and for your mercy. In Jesus' name we pray. Let God's people say, amen. Everyone standing to their feet. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Let's pray. Oh God, I thank you. I thank you for doing the unthinkable. I thank you for doing the improbable. I thank you for changing the very physicality of the desert and bringing water in the desert. Lord, only you can do that. And right now, there may be someone here who find themselves in a desert place. God, may they get a lesson from Philip and from the eunuch that you can change the desert and bring water into their situation. So, Lord, as we extend this invitation, draw someone from where they are to where you want them to be, and we shall give you glory, praise, and honor. In Jesus' name, let the church say amen.
Come on, choir, lift up your voice. Deacons, deaconess, clergy, help me extend the invitation. We like to spread out all over the sanctuary. Very simple song. Listen to the words. Just call his name. Jesus.
Jesus, Jesus, Jesus.
Say it again, choir. Jesus.
Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. What's your name? Jesus.
Is there anyone here who wishes to have special prayer? We'd love to pray for you. So if you want special prayer, step into the aisles. Grab the hands of one of these persons standing. And they will pray for you right there on the spot. If you don't have a church home and you're already a Christian and you're looking for a Bible preaching, Bible believing church, I'd like to invite you to come and join with us. I don't know what your background is, who you are, where you've come from, but I do know that we are trying to do God's will in this church, and we would love to have you join with us. But more importantly, if you've never made a profession of faith in Jesus, come on, give God a praise offering. Here comes a sister right now. Bless you, sister.
Oh, what's his name? Jesus, Jesus, Jesus.
Bless you, wonderful.
Jesus, Jesus,
amen. Let's give God a praise offering. Walk with her, Margarita. She's coming to join the church today. Let's give God a praise offering. To God be the glory. If there is another man, another woman, another boy, another girl who wish to join our church or give their life to Christ, won't you come on down the aisle and give us your hand and give God your heart? As the choir continues to sing, let the Holy Spirit have the Holy Spirit's way. Come on, keep singing, choir. Yeah.
He's a healer.